My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another episode of Inside United. Today our guest is senior pastor of our Asian areas of India, Sri Lanka in particular, also Pakistan and other areas that he may tell us about. His name is David Schreiber. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Victor. It's good to be here.
How did you get started working in India? I know that you've been going over there quite a bit. And how did you begin your work there and develop a relationship with these people?
That's a long story, but just briefly, in 2009, my wife and I had registered to go to the feast in Sri Lanka. But along the way, we ended up going to India first. We thought we'd have a once-in-a-lifetime chance to be able to visit that particular country, to go to the Taj Mahal and see various things in Agra and other parts of the country. And then went on to Sri Lanka and kept the feast with our brethren there in Colombo. But the situation changed in 2010. There was a need for someone from the United Church of God to be able to serve the brethren in Colombo and also in India. And so it was actually you and a few others that asked if we would be willing to step in early 2011, late 2010, to be able to serve those people with some of the challenges that they were facing at that time. So that's kind of how we got hooked up. And of course, one thing had led to another, and now we end up going over, at least until COVID, we end up going over a couple of times a year. We've kept the feast over there for many years and keep in contact with them with weekly emails, and now just starting to do a monthly Zoom Sabbath service where I speak to them at least once a month on the fourth Sabbath of the month. So that kind of summarizes a little bit how that all took place.
What congregations do we have? You might start with Sri Lanka because there we have very, very solid group in one place in Colombo, and maybe more than that. But tell us about the congregations in Sri Lanka, and then also about the ones in India. And I know that we're going to talk about the one in Mizoram. So tell us a little bit about that.
The congregation in Colombo, we've got about 45 people that assemble weekly until just recently. Again, they've gone into lockdown again. They were back in in-person services until just actually last Sabbath, I think, was the first time they went into lockdown again. And we maybe touch on that a little bit later with what's happening with COVID there. But yeah, we've got 45 that attend Sabbath services in Colombo. Colombo's the capital of Sri Lanka. And we've had a congregation there since I've been involved, since 2010, 2011. And we also have a congregation of UCG members in Agra, up in the northern part of India, north central. We've got about 10 people that are attending there weekly, although they're in lockdown again, too, since what has just gone on with the staggering increases in COVID cases there. So we've got 10 that are there, but we've got scattered brethren also throughout India that are connected with us via Zoom or email. And we've got a couple of members in Pune, which is out in the western part of India near the coast. We've got a member that is in Visakhapatnam, over in the eastern portion on the coast, on the other side of the country, on the eastern coast. And then we've got several Sabbath-keeping groups that have become interested in us, again, through the internet. And I continue to communicate with them, and I send out a weekly email, and I try to provide some spiritual food, like a sermonette, and sometimes a sermon even, thinking that this is a way to reach those that are really, truly serious about wanting to know a little bit more about us.
I'd like to hear from you about what's happening in India. That's a question that we all have. What's going on in India? It seems like the world, for the most part, is coming to terms with the COVID crisis, and places are opening up in the West, and all of a sudden, cases have just skyrocketed in India. There's shortage of ventilators, hospital beds, oxygen, all these things that we hear about. David, please tell us about the COVID situation in India.
Yeah, Vic, it's really changed, actually, fairly recently. India, it's got some interesting dynamics that go along with it. It's certainly a land of contrast with the very rich and the extremely poor. And it's a very populous nation, as many people know. It's about one-third the size of the United States, triple the population and one third the size of the US, and 29 states. Each state has its own language, and it's not just a different dialect. In some cases, it's a very different language. And their cities are large. Delhi, the capital, has a population of over 11 million people. Mumbai, over 12 million. That's the largest city in that country. And other cities, multiple millions of people. And so we have a dynamic there of a lot of people in close proximity. And so that's part of the challenge here, is that we have masses of people, large families with many living under the same roof or very near to one another. So this is probably precipitating the spread now of COVID.
You just don't understand India until you get there to see it for yourself.
With people everywhere, it's hard to quarantine in that particular country. And actually, I was very concerned about India when things really started hitting in the United States in March and April. And I was very concerned about India because I knew the dynamics there, that the health facilities are not what they are in the United States. We're very blessed here. They do what they can, but they just have such a huge population. And it's hard for them to quarantine now. You know, people can stay in their homes, but they have to come out to the markets to buy food. They're not like us where they can stockpile and have food put away in the pantry. You know, many of us in the United States were able to, for weeks, stay in our homes. We didn't have to really go out except for maybe some of the bare essentials, but we had a lot stockpiled. They don't have a lot stored. And so the situation there isn't good. And it kind of started to change. I think I was connected with our brethren overseas in Sri Lanka and India. It was early Sabbath morning of April 24th. And I was beginning to get a lot of feedback from those folks over there about a staggering rise in COVID cases in India. And for those that I was connected to with Zoom, they were telling me that things have changed in India. There's a fast-paced second wave of the corona pandemic that was having a surprising surge there in their country. They were giving me some statistics. The previous Sunday and Monday, April 19th and 20th, the country of India had recorded more than 270,000 cases. And then by the following Thursday, April 22nd, it had topped over 332,000. Now, this is all in a country that for several weeks prior to this, they had only been averaging about 15,000 new COVID cases a day. And now all of a sudden, they're averaging in the last week over 300,000 per day. And the real figure is probably even higher. In fact, it just topped out here last Friday, April 30th, at over 402,000 cases in one day. So that spike, if you can imagine, has affected, as you touched on already, shortages of oxygen, shortages of ambulances, hospital beds. And there's been some real needs there, health-wise and otherwise. In fact, just recently, even other countries around the world are beginning to take notice, and they've begun to pledge and send some aid in the form of medical supplies and other vaccine doses and such like that. But in the meantime, I'm continuing to receive emails from people over there that communicate with me regularly, and they're saying that this is hard hitting. And I think they're going through a similar dynamic as we did back in the United States back in March and April, when there was real fear, when there was hardly anyone traveling, when everyone was shuttering down. The morgues in New York State were getting overcrowded and people were dying quite rapidly in the initial stages. That's the dynamic that they're facing right now. They had never really faced that dynamic that we have, but that's where they're at right now. And this is affecting them, not only their lives, but it's affecting their livelihoods. I mean, we've got people that live kind of day to day, week to week, sometimes with how they make their living. And so this, even if they're not getting sick with COVID, they're finding themselves not being able to work, not being able to make a living. And, this is very challenging for them right now. And they're also seeing a dynamic where food costs are going up at the very same time that their income is going down. And so I think it's making the world news now. And, you know, at first my thought was all of this was coming at me and I was thinking, is this really happening? The Washington Post just recently had an article here, and they mentioned that India's coronavirus crisis is stunning to behold. In northern India, bodies are being cremated in public parks because crematoriums have exceeded their capacity. And elsewhere, officials have suggested that families bury in their backyards relatives who have succumbed to COVID-19. So this is not something that we've necessarily faced. We had a little taste of it, I think, in our country, but this is going beyond anything that we've experienced. Here's an example of an email that I received here from a Sabbath keeping pastor that I've been communicating with actually for quite a long time in the state of Andhra Pradesh. And this is what he told me. He said, "Brother, we are now in total lockdown. All of our churches are closed. We're not getting any offerings or gifts or tithes from anyone. COVID is rampant. Many thousand cases and deaths are being received every day. There's a scarcity of oxygen vaccines. The state and central governments have failed really to control the virus due to the lack of foresight. Burials are full and there's no space to bury. And there are heaps of dead bodies. The situation is very, very deplorable." And boy, I've got a lot of other emails I could share too with other people. And so it's not a good situation right there in our country of India. Thankfully, talking to our brethren in Agra, they're fine. But they are mentioned they're hearing and watching the very horrible news as well. But they've also talked about a dynamic, not only that I've talked about, that things are getting more expensive and they're not able to work, but also there's a black market for things like oxygen and vaccines, and people are taking advantage of the situation by trying to make extra money here while people are dying. So it's not a good dynamic, and there are some real needs right now for the people of that country.
Well, Dave, what can we do to help? I know that we hear about these horrible things, and there are people who want to help. In fact, we have received some donations right now earmarked for that. And people want to know, how can we get the aid to them? What can you maybe tell us what we can do? Is money the best thing? And can we send it to people that will truly administer it properly?
Yeah, I think so. Vic, of course, one main thing we can do is pray, and we know that the scripture that talks about in James chapter 5, verse 16, that we should pray for one another, that we might be healed. And I know prayer is really important, and God wouldn't say that just to say it. He hears those things and they move him. And so there are people that are suffering in that country. They're not necessarily Sabbath keepers. They're not necessarily related to us, that are health-wise, they are in critical danger. And so we can pray for them, and also for our brethren and the people, the prospective members that we're dealing with. Money would be very helpful right now. I mean, this is a severe financial crisis for quite a lot of people over there. And, you know, when they communicate to me, I can read between the lines. They're not only asking me to pray, but they're also asking for financial support, but they're kind enough not to put it so much in those terms. But I know what they're saying is that we need help. And so, yes, there's a way for us to get it to the people that have need. I'm in contact with many people over there that have expressed financial need, not asking it permanently, but asking it for temporary. We have been able to set up some, even locally here in the congregation, to be able to help in small ways. With money to help to purchase food, supplies, even to help with utilities and rent because their livelihoods have been affected. I think LifeNets India has been set up, Victor, and you can speak to that a little bit more, as a way to get the money to people that have need in India that we are in contact with. And I don't know if the Good Works program would be something that would fit along that line, or maybe Life Nets, but you could be able to speak to that.
Yeah, I think I can. I think that we do have a disaster relief fund that we want to help out with Good Works, and we can do that. And then also with Life Nets, we do want to help out as well. So you can donate through the church, through the United Church of God, and make your donation out to Good Works. That'd be a tax-exempt donation, but also to Life Nets, and you can get the information on the Life Nets website, lifenets.org, to where to send it. And in fact, you could even make a donation right straight from the homepage and just say India. Also, we will be helping out with Good Works to help our brethren with needed things like food and other things to have them have that security.
Yes, and also in regards to what's happening in Sri Lanka, when these cases in India began to increase, these COVID cases dramatically, we were hoping that it wouldn't affect necessarily the surrounding nations like Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka. But unfortunately, that dynamic has changed now in Sri Lanka. In fact, I just received a communication from our elder there, Mr. Frank Reckerman, just recently, and that almost the same dynamic is beginning to happen in Sri Lanka as happened in India. As far as they had some low cases, and all of a sudden they rose up to 2,000 cases, which for them, it may not seem significant as compared to India, but they're actually on the same curve now that India is on. And if you were to Google Sri Lanka COVID cases and look at a chart, it's almost looking like what India is doing right now. And so that is a challenge there in Sri Lanka, because they're now fully shuttering as well. And I received a communication here just last Sunday from Mr. Frank Reckman, our elder there, and he mentions this, that resulting from the recent lax of control and restrictions by the government, the virus has begun spreading at a faster rate here than it has been before. And the daily increase of detections is now reaching 2,000, and deaths are approaching about 12 a day. And new areas are being added to what they call an isolated list. Even people's homes can be added to an isolated list. One of our members' home was added. He comes from a large family, but it was isolated 2 days ago. And Mr. Reckerman is surprised why some places in and around where he lives are not isolated. And he's not very far from this particular member. And the majority of the Colombo Church actually lives within about a 7-kilometer radius from Mr. Reckerman's home. But he's suggesting that sooner or later, most of us are going to be facing isolation, if not lockdown. And in the meantime, they're seeing the same black market dynamic that is happening there. Food items are sold at high prices, ignoring the price controls that the government has placed on them. And it's really affected some of our members that are in the transportation industry, some that drive tuk-tuks, for instance. We've got several that do that, but now the roads are nearly empty right now in Sri Lanka. And so the existing ban on the public and the private and the church and community gatherings has now been extended to homes as well. And so these are restrictions that are going into place. They're encouraging people to work from home, and roads are gradually becoming empty in Colombo. So at this time, we've been advising the brethren to follow the guidance from the Sri Lankan government, and they're not going to be able to actually congregate now probably for the next 2 or 3 weeks of the Sabbath here, and that's going to include the Feast of Pentecost. So they're not quite as up to date with Zoom as we are. Some of them have the ability to connect online, but many do not, and so it's going to be a challenge staying connected with many of them in the next few weeks, and of course it's affected many of their livelihoods as well. So we have needs, financial needs for any of the brethren that have the wherewithal to help, not only in India with some of the people we know there, but also in Sri Lanka.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that description. I think that'll maybe answer some questions for people who do ask us, how can we help? And that's what we want to be able to provide. So Life Nets is going to provide on its own some support for the crisis that you have now, because we want to make certain that the people that we know, the people that we've worked with, the people that we communicate with who can't get to the market, or people who are struggling with needs to be able to have the things that they need. So Dave, is there anything else that you'd like to say on this podcast?
Just thanks for the opportunity to share some of the things that are happening out there, Vic. And I know there are many people out there that they're happy to pray and they're actually happy to help financially if they can, if they're aware of it. So this may be a way for us to reach everybody, and really appreciate any help that anyone is able to give.
Dave, thank you very much for joining us on Inside United. We really appreciate your insight and experience.
Well, you're most welcome. Thank you, Vic. Appreciate it.
We also thank you, our Inside United listeners, for coming here to Inside United. If you have any questions or anything specific to Dave or to myself, please write to us at podcast@ucg.org. podcast@ucg.org. If you have any questions about how you can help, we would love to hear from you. Also, tune in regularly to this podcast from our ucg.org website. Go to the main homepage, to the main menu line, and click on podcast. You can also reach us by going to Spotify, search for Inside United, and you'll find our podcast. Or also, you can find us on your favorite Apple or Android app. Be sure to tell your friends about Inside United. So have a great week, and come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org. Thank you.